doing awesome. Have you had a good week?
Yeah.
Have you had a bad week that you're glad's over with? Looking on to brighter days, or hallelujah. Not yet. All right, we covered everything. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for your love and mercy. Lord, I pray for understanding and insight. Thank you, Father. Lord, we believe for understanding and insight today. Father, help us to perceive and to know. Lord, to be instructed. Lord, that we would know, Lord God, how to fight effectually and fervently and victoriously in this fight,
yes, Lord.
In this battle, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'm going to be talking today a subject I've been looking at. We've been studying this some on Wednesday nights. Our staff gets together on Wednesday nights, and Pastor Rob has been leading us in a teaching called Bondage Breakers, and we've been looking at the different aspects of this. But I just felt like we needed to really start understanding this battle, this warfare, the unseen things that we battle against, and to understand the authority structure, because everything is about the authority structure. If we don't understand the authority structure, we're going to be caught in confusion all the time. We're going to be beating the air, you know, just not really getting anywhere, because we are dealing with an adversary that is very, very intelligent on how to manipulate humanity. We are without truth, without understanding, we are very easily manipulated, and it's amazing. Well, I'm not going to get into this week. But next week, we're probably going to be talking about how the authority structure works in the kingdom of darkness and in the kingdom of light, so that we can fight this thing just a little bit better. A lot of times, I have literally been around people that thought they were fighting the fight for God, and all they were doing was fighting their own ambitions. They were warring for their own ambitions. We have to understand when it's God and when it's self. And if we don't understand that, then we'll make some big messes. I've had people just absolutely cause disastrous problems, and I've had them tell me, I'm on business for God. God sent me to do this. And there was nothing God about it. It was all selfish ambition. It was all self-promotion. It was my will against your will type thing. And if we don't understand how this thing works, that's what we end up into, because the enemy knows how to get us into those battles. And he'll make you feel righteous and powerful about it. And that's the biggest deception of all. The most, you know, a lot of people think that the demons are real scary. Hollywood has created this, if you watch any of that garbage they put out, They try to create something that doesn't exist. They try to create this sensational, scary type thing. When the movie The Exorcist first came out, people flocked to that, and people actually become demon possessed watching that movie. And it's because they didn't understand it. And it's because the devil was manipulating humanity and trying to make himself look all powerful. Amen. He is not all powerful.
Right, right.
Amen. He is subject to the authority of the name of Jesus. And so, you know, you don't have to fight with them like that. You don't have, you know, that they're weak little wimps that if you take the facade off of them, they are the little midget behind the curtain on Wizard of Oz. You hear what I'm talking about? I remember when I was young, we watched that movie. And you know, he had this big megaphone, made himself sound real big and everything. But when the curtain was pulled back, it's just a little midget back there. And that's what we're dealing with. But we're dealing with entities that understand how you work. They have studied humanity for thousands of years. We are, when it comes to intelligence, when it comes to a battle of wit, we are disarmed. You cannot fight the enemy through reasoning. You cannot fight the enemy through wit or intelligence. That's why Jesus, when he was confronted by Satan, the very Son of God that knew the Word of God, that created all things, when he was confronted by Satan, he did not debate him. He simply declared the Word. Amen. Because you don't want to get in a debate with an entity that has studied humanity for thousands of years and knows everything about you, knows how to manipulate you, knows how to cause you to do what they want you to do. And we're going to get into that probably next week and we'll be talking about, you know, what the enemy works through, the channels he works through to get us to carry out his will. And so we got to cut those off. We got to close those things. And then we need to understand how the Holy Spirit works and how he operates in us. And the problem is, I'll give you just a little insight here. The problem is the enemies, the kingdom of darkness works through rulership. The kingdom of light works through fellowship and partnership. The kingdom of darkness seems to be more effective because the demons do not buck the structure. They know where they belong and they are put in that place and they do not buck the structure because there's consequences. The kingdom of light works through us being willfully obedient. And fellowship and partnership. And so we have to figure out how to work together and be in unity, willingly obedient, because God has said, whosoever will, let him come. He's given us the choice. And so we hold the greatest authority that's ever been given, and yet it is subject to our will. That's why it's so hard to keep the kingdom of God going, because we can't seem to get a hold of our will. We can't seem to submit it. In the kingdom of darkness, you don't have a will, you do what you're told. Amen. That's just a little advertisement for next week. All right. Once you turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to have Pastor Rob read some along with us in some different translations, versions. Book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Instead of starting with how the authority structure works and how it works through us, I've decided to flip this around. That's usually how we start, but I decided to flip this around because we need to understand the authority before we understand the authority structure. Amen. I just want to establish who's in charge here today. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's not the devil. Amen. The name of Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Amen. I love that song. Fit right in. I wrote this down yesterday as I was contemplating all this. Sometimes when I when I'm thinking about things, it comes out in statements and poems. I know I don't look like a poet, but it's a smart twin I absorbed at birth. Speaks every once in a while, you know, and comes out. But I wrote this down yesterday as I was studying this, and it just started, these words just began to come to me. The unseen battles in this spiritual fight are misunderstood by our carnal sight. For the unseen is greater and vastly more real. It cannot be explained by what we touch or feel. But our spirit man battles this unseen host, empowered and led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We have to acknowledge that there is an unseen war taking place. You remember, I don't remember how long, I have a habit of saying the other day, and it was 5 years ago. And here all back, I don't know how long ago it was, we were in service here, and all of a sudden I stopped and I said, guys, there is a war taking place right over our heads right now. And all of a sudden the lights and sound system in this auditorium just went out. All the lights in the nursery, the hallways, all the other lighting was on, which is impossible. I know how this church is wired. I know where the breaker panels are. I know what runs what. And there's no way to turn the power off in this auditorium without turning the power off in other places. Okay? And all of a sudden, I said, there's a war going on right over our heads right now. And all of a sudden, the lights and the sound system just went dead in this church, just went dark. And instead of being afraid, everybody in this place began to rejoice and declare the glory of God, and the lights and the sound system came back on. What was that? That was the enemy trying to get us. He likes to impress us. He likes to say, look how powerful I am. And if you fall for that, then he becomes powerful. If you don't fall for that, then he stays in his submitted place. And so in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in the Amplified Classic version, I'm just going to give this, it says that in this wicked age and world order. How many understand that there's order to things? Anybody that says that this world was just, it just, you know, it just suddenly, pow, wow, here we are, is ridiculous, because order does not come out of chaos. No matter how long it goes, order never comes out of chaos. Order only comes from a higher power setting things in order, taking the chaos and making it into order. And so there's order in everything. There's order in our lives, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But the kingdom of darkness has order, and the kingdom of light has order. And so understanding that order, the devil is very legalistic. He takes you to trial. If he wants to try to do something in your life, he looks for a legal right to do so. And if he can find a legal right to do so, then he will implement that. And the only way that you can stop that is going to a higher authority and going to the judge of all judges and taking the word of God and challenging him by the word of Almighty God and by the authority of the name of Jesus. And therefore, you usurp the prosecutor and you shut him down where he cannot implement his verdict on your life. Okay? This isn't just hocus pocus. This isn't just this. We as Christians, we seem to think there's this mysterious, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't type thing. And the only reason that is because we don't have a good understanding and we don't operate in the authority structure that is given to us. We have been given the authority of God, but you have to operate in that authority. If we don't, then we battle against something we don't have any ability to battle. We will always lose. Amen. No matter how hard you fight. Matter of fact, I tell a lot of people, stop fighting and rest. Because the more you fight, the more soulishly powerful you become. Your soul, your mind, your ability, your willpower becomes stronger and stronger. But the Bible says that we have entered into a rest of faith. So a rest of faith means that we come under the authority of Jesus Christ and we say, I'm not going to fight a fight that has already been won. I'm going to rest in God and I'm going to give the authority back to Jesus and I'm going to allow Holy Spirit to manifest in me and take care of this situation. Amen. So he said that he has come that he might... who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. How many's fully understanding that we're living in an evil age right now? There's evil all around us. It's worse than we've known it. It's not worse than it's ever been. It's worse than we've known it. One of these days, Holy Spirit's going to let me teach on the atmosphere and culture that the early church was birthed into. And we'll understand that our challenges that we have right now are really kind of light compared to what the early church was up against. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got some problems. We got some battles. But it doesn't compare to what they were up against. They were living under Roman rule, and it was the most perverted, oppressive, violent, bloodthirsty rule that you could possibly live under, and yet the church was birthed and became powerful right under that. And not only that, they were living and working under a hypocrisy of a religious establishment that was as cruel as the Romans were. So they had a lot of things against them, but they won. Amen. In the book of Colossians. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Pastor Rob, if you would look up from verse 15 to 18 and read that in the Amplified Classic Version. I want to bring out a couple of things that it says in that. this is a prayer that is very powerful, and it's a teaching that we need to understand and be enlightened in. Go ahead, Pastor. The black cordless mic.
Yes.
There you go.
Now he is. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent.
Amen. What did it say there? That he might what?
Stand first. Occupy the chief place.
Occupy the chief place. Stand first and be preeminent. Amen. This is not a structure where Jesus sometimes is in the chief place and sometimes he is not in the chief place. This is not a place where sometimes he's preeminent and sometimes he's not preeminent. But that's how we treat this, and that's how we live this, because there's some things we're willing to put him in the preeminent place in our life, and some things that we put him down here. And in some parts of our life, he is an add-on, and in other parts of our life, he is an authority. But there is not a time in our life that we can make Jesus an add-on to our life and expect to have authority in our life and the authority of Jesus Christ working in our life. He has to be preeminent in our lives if he is going to be in authority in our lives. Amen. I heard somebody say something the other day that really amazed me, or not amazed me, just I thought, wow, that that's so simple, it's true. And he said this. He said, you cannot have authority over what you are entertained by. Powerful, isn't it? You cannot have authority over what you are entertained by. If we're trying to break free, we can't be entertained by this stuff. We got to break free from it. We got to make up our mind. We got to make a decision and say, this is how we're going to live, and this is what I'm going to live like. So the kingdom of God, in verse 16, it says that by him all things were created. He is the head of the body. So there's a structure that is established here, and we're beginning to see a structure coming out. And Jesus has become the chief. He has become the head. Hebrews says that he was made a little lower than the angels and paid the price for us, but then he was exalted high above the angels and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We understand today that when Jesus, the humanity is a little lower than the angels, the angelic realm, we are a little lower in the natural by the angelic realm, but Jesus became a little lower. He died for us. He paid the price for us, as we read a while ago, that he might deliver us from the powers of darkness. And so when he came and shed his blood and he delivered us, when you accept Jesus Christ, you have been delivered from the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. We got to bring the power back to this thing. It's not a little prayer you pray and sign the card and agree to pay your tithe. That is not salvation. Salvation is a transformation. It is a turning away from the old life and turning to the new life. It's getting rid of the old God and coming to the new God. It's saying no to the devil, no to sin, and coming into the powerful kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is not a halfway hope so, maybe so type thing. It is a I am your servant. I have sold out. I am yours, and I will serve you and live for you the rest of my life. It's not God, I'm going to give you part of my life. It's God, I give you all all of my life. Salvation is not some cheap parlor trick that we do just to get numbers on our board. Salvation is a transformative work that takes place inside of you that delivers you from the powers of darkness. Everybody say, I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Amen. Old song we used to sing, I've been delivered, I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered, I've been delivered. I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord. I've been delivered, I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered, I've been delivered. I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not I come and God cleaned me up a little bit. It's not that he wiped a little bit of the mud off of me. It's I come to Jesus and his blood cleansed me. He purified me. He redeemed me from the law. He redeemed me from the curse. He redeemed me from sin and perversion. He redeemed me from all these things. I have been delivered. Hallelujah. You've got to make up your mind whether you're going to be delivered or whether you're going to play some kind of game with God. You don't make deals with God. God made the deal. Jesus made the deal for you. You've been grafted in to the deal he made. Amen. God didn't agree to redeem you. He made a covenant with the Son of God. He made a covenant to accept the blood of Jesus. And Jesus was your propitiation. Jesus was your stand-in. Jesus was the one that paid the price for you. And now he said, okay, you can come into me. You can be in Christ. And because you are in Christ, you are as Christ. And the Father has forgiven you because of my blood has been put upon you. And now we stand in the kingdom of God as Jesus Christ, accepted by the blood, redeemed by the blood, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I can come to the Father and say, Abba, Father, like I belong in the house because I do belong in the house. I'm a son of the King. I'm a child of the King. I belong at the table. I can come in and sit down at my Father's house, and there's a chair specifically for me because I have been redeemed through Jesus Christ. And if he's at the table, I'm at the table. Hallelujah. I'm trying to pace myself this morning. It's been a good week in prayer. Amen. We are going after the things of God. Amen. So we have been redeemed. We have come into the covenant because he is the head. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read a bunch of familiar scriptures today. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Pastor Rob, if you'd read that in the Passion Translation, 19 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23.
I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is his mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And
what
now
did I say?
He is
what kind of authority?
Highest authority. Supreme authority, highest honor. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, government, and realm of power in existence.
Hallelujah.
He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it.
Hallelujah. He has a rank above all others. Praise God. Now, the Word of God says that he is above. He is above all principality. Amen. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we have been seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Praise God. Now the words principality and powers, those are governmental terms. That is not just a word of somebody that's powerful. It is governmental terms. It means governmental structures. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, every name that is named, all power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So it's been settled for not only now, but for eternity. It has been settled that everything is under the name of Jesus Christ. Not one thing has been left out. Now, in Corinthians, Paul said, we see not all things put under him. All things have been put under his feet, but he said, we see not all things put under him, but we see Christ. What was he saying? We still struggle a lot in this world. We still struggle with a lot of things, and we don't see the authority being displayed. We don't see that dominion all the time. But he said, but we see Jesus. Amen. Every time you just got to keep going back to Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Amen. My life is in Jesus. My healing is in Jesus. My deliverance is in Jesus. My power is in Jesus. We can't fight this thing by ourselves, and we can't try to figure out how to put him out of it. It doesn't make any sense for somebody to try to develop a doctrine that leaves Jesus out of your faith. It is not your faith that does it. It is what your faith is in. Your faith is in Christ. Amen. It's not your faith that is powerful. Your faith brings you to the power and gives you access to the power, and you yield to the authority and power because the name of Jesus is all powerful and has all authority. Amen. So the principalities and powers are terms of governmental structure. The devil understands governmental structure. The kingdom of darkness has a very strict governmental structure. Where do you think that came from? That came from Satan, Lucifer's experience with Father God. He wanted to be God, so he was going to exalt himself. I will exalt my throne. I will do all this kind of stuff. And so he put himself in that place, but he adopted kingdom structure. And that kingdom structure is alive and well today. When it talks about fallen angels, what it's talking about is those that left their position. In other words, they had a place of authority, and they left their position and tried to go after what did not belong to them. That's what a fallen angel is. That's a rebellious angel. And man, I can't get into this. I got to do this next week. Amen. But I'm just going to tell you something. The devil will flatter you into destruction. The devil will make you think you're so powerful that you start exalting yourself. Well, how many times do we see that? Amen. One of the biggest struggles of somebody that's really used of God is to resist becoming a God to themselves. Amen. We've seen it over and over and over. We've seen people mightily used of God. Next thing you know, they begin to think they're somebody. And all of a sudden, they don't need Jesus anymore because now they are somebody. You know, they are something. I'm something. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what that is. Amen. I've said for years that confidence is attractive in the kingdom of God, but arrogance is repulsive. We got to be confident as God's children. Confidence is attractive. It's hard to work with somebody and follow a leader that is insecure and doesn't know where they're going. That's kind of hard to do. But when somebody is confident about what they're doing, then it's easy to follow them because you don't feel insecure about that thing. Amen. We was working in Haiti. Danny, you'll remember this. We was working in Haiti, and we was in a valley, a village called Boutin, and it took us a long time to get there. We were putting in a water line to a village to where we had clinics and schools, and was putting in this long water line, and we took all the equipment. We left one morning driving this diesel Chevy pickup. Is a military truck that had an old diesel motor in it. And we had a trailer on it. We had this little backhoe. And we had all the pipe and all the everything that we was going to need to put this water line in, we had on that thing. And we took off. And the missionary was working with, he was leading us. And we had to go through town after town after town. And there is no road signs. There is no markers. There's no street lights. And we drove about two or three hours getting out there. We had to go through riverbeds where the bridge had collapsed. And we had to slide. I had to go off the edge of the river bank with all that load on there, and we just dove off that thing and went sliding down into the bottom of the riverbank, and we headed up the other side, hit that other side, went climbing out of there, and we did that. We got there, we worked all day, and we were working, we was doing good, and about 2 o'clock that afternoon, the missionary come to me. He said, "Hey, Tim, you remember how to get home? Back to Boutin, or not Boutin, back to Port-au-Prince?" Which Port-au-Prince itself is a maze to try to get through. I mean, there's nothing north, south, east, and west. It does like this, and it's all mixed up. There's no street signs or anything, and so you just have to remember what a building looked like, or you know, different stuff. And we're out there working, and all of a sudden I looked up, and the sun was setting, and I hollered, "Put everything up and get in the truck. We got to go." Because I knew that there was no way to recognize anything after dark. No street lights, no street names, no road signs. And we took a lot of turns in a lot of towns and a lot of areas. And it was a long way back to Port-au-Prince, back to the compound. And we start putting things up, and by the time we get in the truck, I had a couple of guys in the cab with me, and all the rest of them was in the back. I don't remember who all went with me on that one. I know Dan was there. And we started out, and by the time we got up to what they call a main road, it ain't much of a road, it was dark. And in Haiti, when it gets dark, it is dark. It is pitch black. Your headlights don't go 10 feet into the darkness. I don't know why it's like that. Africa's the same way. I mean, there's different parts of the world where when it gets dark, it is black dark. And I'm driving down through there, and my headlights don't look like they're going 10 feet in front of me. And there's people all over the road without reflective gear on. And I'm trying to go through there, and I'm trying to miss people, and we're driving back through there, and I'm going into these towns, and I'm taking turns, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh God help me. God help me. I gotta get these guys back to Port-au-Prince, and there was no way of knowing. I mean, I would come to a road and I would think, I think this is it. And I would turn. And we just kept driving, we kept driving, we kept driving. And finally Danny spoke up. And he said, do you have any idea where you're at? My neck muscles were like rocks. And when he said, do you have any idea where you're at? I said, oh, yeah. I got it. Not a problem. I know how to get home. I tried to put forth an atmosphere of confidence. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we drove all the way back, got to Port-au-Prince. I've never missed a turn. Drove all the way back to the compound, got in front of the big great gate, honked the horn. They opened it up, we drove through. And when we drove through, I say, oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That's what I was doing on the inside, but on the outside, I was like, not a problem. I knew where I was at, not a problem. Why? Because if you're supposed to be the leader and you're confused, don't know where you're going, ain't nobody gonna follow you. You're gonna have a revolt. Jesus knows where he's going. Holy Spirit knows how to direct us and get us there. Amen. Hallelujah. Learning how to trust him. Learning how to be led by him. Learning how to be directed by him. Amen. Learning to listen, to know his instruction. Amen. We've done that all over the place. You can ask Sister Betty. She's rode with me for years. And there's a lot of times I have no idea where something's at, and she calls us sniffing it out like a dog, like a hound dog. And I'm on the sniff. I mean, I'm taking it, and a lot of times I'll drive straight to the place. But it's the Holy Spirit knows how to direct us. He knows how to guide us. Amen. On our Harley, I found this sticker, and I started putting it right on the back of my helmet, but I decided not to be too much of a smart aleck. But where Sister Betty could see it, that said, I can't be lost. There's still a road in front of me. Come on, some of you ladies. Come on. Hallelujah. We have to understand and learn to trust. And this is the problem we get into. We haven't learned to trust the leadership of Holy Spirit in our life, because we've tried a couple of times and maybe we failed. Maybe we didn't quite get it. Maybe we messed up. Maybe it didn't happen. And so we just quit. Well, it's not the Holy Spirit that made the mistake. It's your ability to perceive. It's your ability to hear. It's the fact that you don't understand the authority structure yet, and there's an enemy trying to give you instruction as well, and you've got to learn to hear the voice of the shepherd. You got to know who he is, and the only way you can do that is you got to get lost a few times. Hallelujah. That's the part we don't like. When God's working in somebody with a prophetic gift, I've heard this over and over and over. They'll come to him and they say, yeah, but I don't want to make a mistake. And I'll say, well, you will. That gives a lot of confidence, you know. Well, you will. You'll mess up really bad sometimes. Well, that just makes them not even want to do it. But how are you ever going to do anything if you don't start learning? If you don't practice? You got to practice. Hey, man, you got to get it wrong every once in a while. And you got to be willing to apologize and repent when you get it wrong. Ain't nothing worse than somebody with a prophetic gift that has to be right all the time. That's nothing but arrogance. You ain't going to be right all the time. You're going to get it wrong. Amen. And when you get it wrong, you say, well, I missed that. Amen. But you don't go off and sit in the corner and think, well, Holy Spirit, you let me down. No, you just got deaf. You had a hearing impairment all of a sudden. You didn't quite get there. Amen. I done quit teaching and went to meddling. Praise God. Principalities and powers. It means government. Governmental. The word principality actually means government. And it's used, and it also means the word rule. It's used of supernatural beings who exercise rule. When the Bible says a principality, the Bible's talking about a supernatural being who exercises rule. Now, there are demonic principalities that try to exercise rule over regions, over churches. Disobedience can cause a principality to become empowered in a place. There are a lot of churches that have come under the rule of a principality because disobedience came into that place. Arrogance, pride, self-will. You remember Colossians says that strife and self-seeking is confusion and every evil work. If you let disobedience come into a church, into a city, into a state, then that empowers a demonic principality that begins to exercise rule over that place. And you can see the different characteristics of these things by going to different cities and different places. You can see that principality because they have the same personality. It's always the same thing. And so disobedience has empowered that principality in that place. But obedience destroys the rule of a principality. And then the principality of God comes into existence. Now, in the kingdom of God, angels are important. There are sentries, there are gatekeepers. There's one that comes here a lot. And there's an authority with him. And when he is present, there is a strong authority presence. But God did not put this in the hands of angels. The kingdom of God is not ruled by angels. They are servants. They are here to help us. Who did he put in rule? Me and you. He put an authority structure in the body of Christ, and he made us the principalities of the kingdom of God. That's why it's so important for us to begin to understand structure and begin to understand unity and cooperation and willful obedience instead of willful disobedience. We've got to learn how to do that because the only way the body of Christ can rule and reign like we're supposed to is when we are operating in the authority structure of God. Amen. You hear that a lot these days. The word ecclesia. Dutch and Tim Sheets have made the word ecclesia, you know, a main name. You know, it's just a new way of saying church. It's the way it was pronounced originally in the word. And the word ecclesia means ruling, governmental. And I hear that word all the time. But guys, listen to me. If we can't even rule our own spirits, don't start propping yourself up and saying, I'm the ruling authority of the kingdom of God. If you can't even rule your own will, if you can't even submit your own ideas, if you can't get along with anybody, if you can't do nothing but gather with your little group of rebels and talk about how everybody else is wrong, you're not a ruling authority. You're a rebel leader. The body of Christ has to learn how to come together and recognize authority, recognize the anointing, and recognize the governmanship of Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to get into that in the New Testament. You find out that they had as much trouble with it as we do. Amen. First time, I shouldn't say this, but it's next week. But the first time Paul went to Jerusalem to appear before the apostles, he had already met Peter once. But the first time he went to the Jerusalem Council of Apostles, he come away with this statement. He met with those that were something, but I know not what they were. But they were something. When I was reading that yesterday, and I've read that a lot of times, but I read that yesterday and I go, and it just struck me funny. I go, oh my goodness. Paul was really torqued that he had to answer these guys. And he had the attitude like, I don't know why I would have to submit to you. I mean, I've had some pretty great experiences with God. I mean, why would I have to come here and appear before these whatever I don't know? That was Paul's attitude. And then he got to feeling really powerful. Oh, I'm getting into next week. He got to feeling really powerful, and he confronted Peter to the face right in front of all of them. It's like you think you're the big dog of the church. But I found something you're doing wrong. And I'm going to confront you in front of everybody. And he did that. And Peter was messing up. But you know what the authority structure does? The authority structure doesn't get up and try to humiliate each other in front of everybody. That's not God. And the early church had a hard time trying to get a hold of this thing. Amen. What the authority structure and Holy Spirit does is take Paul, come to Peter and take him off to the side, and he said, hey, man, you can't do this stuff. You're leading these people astray. You're separating from the uncircumcised when the circumcised come around. You're setting a bad example. And Peter says, man, we need to unify on that. We need to come together, and we got to establish this. Yeah. Yeah. And then Paul and Peter could have appeared back in front of the church with a unified corporate agreement. But instead, it became an open argument and confrontation. See, if we don't understand how to operate in the kingdom of God, our pride and our arrogance becomes manipulated by the kingdom of darkness. Amen. That's good stuff. If we're gonna be, you know, it probably would have been easier for God to make the angels principalities and we submit to them. That probably would have been easier. But God decided to make human beings the principalities of the church, the principalities and the powers. And he has had a job on his hands of trying to get us to cooperate. and to quit trying to figure out who's greatest in the kingdom. Wow, I'm going to have to quit. I don't want to quit. I want to get into some more stuff. Before we quit, I want to go to Ephesians 6. See, I told you I can't quit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. These are all very familiar verses, but I want to lay some groundwork here, establish some things. Pastor Rob, I want you to read Ephesians 6, verse 12 in the Passion Translation first. There's a statement in there I want you to grab hold of.
Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful. They are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Mm.
They're what?
Demon gods.
A powerful class of demon gods. They have made themselves gods. And the ignorance of humanity has empowered them to rule. They do not have the authority given by God to rule. But if you go back to Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 3, where Jesus is being tempted, then the devil, Satan, says to him, bow down and worship me and see all the kingdoms in their power. Yeah. I'll give that to you because it's been delivered unto me. Yeah. Now, Jesus didn't disagree with him about that. But what Jesus was thinking was, I'm about to do something that is going to dethrone you. And I won't have to worship you because I am about to come into your house and take the title deed away from you. I'm about to take your keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm about to take your keys away from you. Praise God. Now today we look at it and we think, well, the devil's obviously in charge of this world. One of the reasons the devil is obviously in charge of this world is because the church hasn't been able to figure out how to become what God called us to become. We're still trying to figure out just how to get along. Amen. We're still fighting over personality differences. Behind the scenes, I see a lot of this stuff, and I have people, they won't show up, they're not showing up at a prayer meeting. They say, well, why aren't you coming to prayer meeting? Well, I don't like this one person that's there. Woo! Boy, that's a zinger. Well, there's somebody there I just don't agree with. Well, there's somebody there that's grieving the spirit. I usually tell them the same thing. The only spirit being grieved is yours. Amen. Because you're wanting to conquer them and have authority over them, and they're not yielding to you. Is this legal? Can I talk like this? Can we say the quiet stuff out loud? Amen. See, we're still trying to figure out how to get along and just like being in the same room together. And Jesus has made us the principalities that are supposed to be ruling. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Read verse 12 in the Amplified Classic, if you would. I'm closing.
For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere.
Yeah. See, they rule over the kingdom of darkness, but he has delivered us from the rule of the kingdom of darkness. So when we come into Christ, we are delivered from the ruling authority of this present age. Hallelujah. Amen. That means they don't have authority over us. They don't control us. Amen. That's why I got so mad when they tried to shut the churches down and called. What was it? What was the word they used?
Non-essential.
Sister Betty had to go through this. Lord give her, bless her. Because I was mad all the time. And she had to put up with me saying, they are not going to call us non-essential. They're non-essential. They're underneath us. Jesus is Lord. He's the supreme ruler. He's the one. I'm not going to let them shut me down. I'm not going to let them. And I had a lot of pastors tell me, you need to, the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. Well, these aren't the laws of the land. Amen. This is a bunch of lying criminals that are trying to take over. Amen. See, Sister Betty had to go through all that, and I didn't shut down. I kept working. As a matter of fact, it was great. I had the roads to myself. I had everything. I didn't have to put up with traffic. Amen. And sometimes I'd wear the mask, sometimes I wouldn't. I walked into a store one day without a mask on, and a guy hollered at me and said, sir, you can't be in here without a mask on. I said, I have CS, I can't wear a mask. He said, okay, go ahead. Thankfully, he didn't ask me what CS was. If he had, if he said, what is CS? I'd said, common sense. Amen. Another day they told me I had to have a face covering on, so I took this mask and tore little holes in it and put it over my eyes. And I walked around with this mask on, over my eye, looking out through these little holes. I said, I've got a face covering on. Amen. You say, well, you're just a rebel. I am. When somebody tells me that I can't worship God, they have done barked up the wrong tree. Because I'm going to worship God. Amen. I'm going to be like Daniel. I'll go up and open the windows up and pray like I did last time. Amen. Pray like I did yesterday. We don't come under the submission of that type of criminality and those types of rules. We don't come under that. Amen. You say, but we'll get in trouble. We have been in trouble since the day that the church was born. We have been the opposition party. Why? Because the rulers of darkness, this present age, don't want us. But Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He established the kingdom of God. The kingdom of light has authority in this earth. And the church has been called to be the principalities in the kingdom of darkness. And we come together, we recognize authority, we recognize anointings. Amen. We recognize people that have anointings. We honor people that God has honored. That's why I hear one of these days, probably going to, looks like it's going to be next August or September now. But Brother Dutch Sheets has contacted me through Clay Nash, and they feel strong that they need to come to Branson. Why? Why? Because God has established them with authority. God has established them with an anointing and an authority. And we as the body of Christ, we open the door up and say, we acknowledge you, we partner with you, we fellowship with you. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. See, when God, I was asking God yesterday, I said, God, raise up some more national anointings. Amen. We got to see some more national anointings. There's a few, but there hadn't been very many. I was watching Mario Murillo, a testimony. He was up in upstate New York. And Mario's a different guy. He's got a different approach, but he's got an anointing. He's got an authority that God's put on him. He was in upstate New York, just east of Buffalo, in a town pouring rain, in a tent meeting this time of year. Pouring rain. They set up a tent and put out 1,900 chairs, and 4,000 people showed up the first night. Over 600 cars couldn't get in the parking lot. You think people aren't hungry? That's in a blue state. You think people aren't hungry? They had between 500 and 1,000 people being born again every night. Miracles taking place. Why? Because a principality showed up. Somebody that God had established to break the rule and reign of darkness showed up in a place, and all of a sudden the darkness had to yield and bow to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. The other day down in Florida, I think it's Florida State, I can't remember what, if that's what it is, 4,500 students baptized in the fountain. Wow. In a party school, second biggest party school in Florida. 4,500 students gave their lives to Christ, and they didn't have anywhere to baptize, so they had this big parade, and they marched on the campus to the fountain in the middle, and they got in the fountain and baptized people in the fountain in the campus. See, when the authority shows up, that which was in rule has to bow. And that's why that happens. I asked God one time, back when we was holding a lot of big crusades in different parts of the world, and it's hard, it's expensive, it's hard to do. And you pray for people for hours, hundreds and hundreds of people. And one day I was praying, I said, God, is this the way to do it? Is this really what we need to be doing? Because it was so expensive and it was so hard and difficult. I said, these big meetings, what are these big meetings about? Why do we have to hold these big meetings? And this is what Holy Spirit told me. He said, when you get up and start preaching the word, everywhere the sound of your voice goes comes under my authority. And the power of the enemy has to vacate. I got a whole new vision. He said, that's why people that don't even know who I am will answer an altar call, because all of a sudden the kingdom of darkness is pushed back and the kingdom of light is in authority, and they run to me. They run to me. This is happening all over the world. People are running to Jesus, responding. Why? Because the kingdom of light is the ruling authority over the kingdom of darkness, and we've got to get that in our hearts. Father, I thank you today. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you, Lord God, and ask that you would manifest yourself. Manifest your authority, Father. God, I thank you for manifesting your authority in this world again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. you, Father. Glory. Father, we ask you, Lord God, right here in this place, Lord, manifest yourself.